This is Reverend Joseph Caesar, and welcome to the Good News Program. I am truly blessed and honored to be called by God to be His servant to spread the good news of salvation to you all. You have done the right thing. Don't change the channel. You are not here by chance, but by divine guidance. And greetings to you, my radio friends. Once more again, I am so happy and proud to come into your home. And this is Reverend Joseph Caesar bringing you the good news of salvation on BBS Radio. It is always a pleasure looking forward to spread such great news. I would like to let you know this is a news that is fitable to be printed and fitable to hear. You can digest this news because it's the best news. Today I want to talk to you about simple things that would make sense. And I just wanted to let you know, my topic today is nothing lasts forever. Again, nothing lasts forever. I'll be taking my message from Exodus chapter 3, verse 3. And it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Amazing. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw nigh hither, don't come any further. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and Jebusites. The Lord says, now therefore, behold, thy cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, Moses, come, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, the Lord says, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have seen, and I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, he shall serve God unto this mountain. My friends, life has many twists and turns, ups and downs. One minute you're on the mountaintop, the next you're in the valley. Sometimes your seas are calm, and sometimes they are very rough. Sometimes you may have more than enough to share with your fellow men, and there are times you don't have for yourself. Life is a very unpredictable situation. You're even on your job, your supervisors knows your dedication about your work. You're full of punctuality, good quality work. But when the time comes for promotion, they'll pass you up and give it to the new jacks. Life takes on many turns. But don't worry. Don't worry. Divine justice will always intervene into your situation when they don't recognize you. You know, God is not asleep. Sometimes you might have friends, and both of you may not have a job at the same time. So you hang out and you go places together, and your friend got a job. And eventually, when that person gets a job, you notice, take a good look at this. You notice your so-called friend becomes very scarce. He or she may not, you know, call upon you anymore. They don't come around anymore. But don't worry. I beckon you. One day, your ship is going to come in full of goods, full of cargo, enough to share. One day, let me tell you what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Your mourning shall last but till morning. God will turn your winter's nights into a summer's day. Your sighing into singing. Your grief into gladness. Your mourning into music. Your bitter into sweet. Your wilderness into a paradise. Brothers and sisters, the life of a Christian is filled up with interchanges of sickness and health, weakness and strength. Wants and wealth, disgrace and honor, crosses and comforts, miseries and mercies, joys and sorrow, mirth and mourning, all honey would harm us, all wormwood would undo us. And the composition of both is the best way in the world to keep our souls in a healthy situation. And so it is best and most for the health of the soul that the soul, wind of mercy and the north wind of adversity do blow both upon us. My brothers and sisters, take heed. Life takes on many different turns. How interesting is the fact that God takes cognizance of the afflictions of his people, of one as of many, of great and small. And one sometimes is puzzled to determine whether God appears great when he does on the whirlwind and directs the storm. You think he appears great? He speaks in the thunder and manifests his glory in the lightning, or when he descends to minister every pulse to the minutest microscopic insect, or to notice the pains, the sorrow, and the suffering of the humblest and the lowliest of the human family. God knows, he hears, and he understands your sorrow. And when the children of Israel was in Egypt, and this bad man he thought that he, you know, he was the baddest man in the world. God called Moses. Come here, Moses. I have a job for you. I'm going to send you on a mission. I want you to go down to meet the man Pharaoh. Tell Pharaoh that to let my people go. God is beforehand with his salvation. It is not so much that God has prepared salvation for us as that he has prepared us for salvation. Salvation was laid up in Christ before sin entered into the world. So that when sin did enter in and there was need, God brought it forth. There is also great comfort and assurance in this truth. God does not always answer our prayers immediately or from the spot where our prayers are made. Let us pour out our prayers, I beg you, and leave them with God. If they fall within his gracious covenant of salvation, they will receive the answer in due time and as quickly as it is possible for us to receive and bear it. He's going to be on time. And so God's message, his message to Moses, there is compassion and mercy with the Lord. Salvation proceeds from his love and grace. And notice this. Notice what the Lord says. I am come down to deliver them. He is going to come to deliver you. No matter what you're going through, no matter how long, no matter what hardship, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is too big or too small. We frequently hear people talking about getting up to God. Not long ago, I heard many people talking about, a lady told me that she was trying to get through, like nature to, up to nature's gardens. And so I listen. This may do for some sentiment, but it is not a possible way to reach God. It is true that the invisible things of God, even his eternal power and Godhead, as seems by the things that are, but this is not to get to God. To know that there is a God in the universe who is eternally powerful is not to know him as a savior. It does not help us out of the bondage of sin or into peace and joy. To know God is almighty. You must know that he is gracious and that he receiveth sinners before we can be at peace. We cannot get to him except we must come to him. And so God told Moses that he was going to do three things for Israel. God knows the sorrows to which his people are exposed. Because of the relationship he sustains to them, he called them my people. The choicest of God's saints in circumstances of great trial and a problem the next world will better solve. Because its omniscient eye, his omniscient eye is upon them. He sees their trials. He sees our trials. And because they are in the habit of making known their sorrows to him by prayer, he knows, he hears them, that at the proper time, God will deliver his people from sorrow. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. And you know, sometimes after it has been long continued, sometime when least expected, God appear. Sometimes by agencies. God uses human instrumentalities in the deliverance of his people from sorrow. Moses was his instrument. But Moses came up with excuses. He says, you know, I can't even talk. Come up with faint excuses. But God wanted Moses himself, nobody else, to carry out that mission. So God must have said, oh, okay. You're trying to get out an easy cop out here? I will speak for you. So he had no excuse now. He had no excuse now. So when God uses Moses, God has already prepared Moses by his life's discipline. He encouraged by heaven's vision. And called by God's voice. When God wants you to do something for him, you could dance as much as you want. You could run as much as you want. You can try to hide, but he's going to find you. Jonah did the same thing. Oh, Jonah took off like a rat with his tail cut off. But God found him. If our Lord knows our sorrows, we may be sure that he will help us in due time. And that although he seemed to tarry long, he only tarries for our good. Don't forget that I have said, weeping may endure for a night, but your joy is sure to come in the morning. Your joy will come. Let me give you a little lesson of instruction here. If God, who is love and power, knows our sorrows and permits them, though he does not willingly afflict, he must mean something by them. True, there is a voice in them which we should listen to. Let us ask, what does my heavenly Father mean by this affliction? What sins most best or beset me most? What graces are most lacking in me by afflicting us. Our Father means not only to correct our shortcomings, but to purify our faith. God tries our patience by sorrow for the example of others. How does the sight of a Christian suffer cheer and strengthen his fellow travelers on the Christian course? Let us take that to heart in our time of suffering. We glorify God. Not only may our suffering, affliction, be a blessing to others as an example, but as calling forth their sympathy and love. God has the divine care and presence. He heard his people cried in Egypt. He understood their situation. He said, I heard, and now I come down to set my people free. And so the divine care and presence, which is infinite sympathy. Often adversity leads us into a spirit of carelessness and unbelief. In our impatience, we cannot wait for the Lord. The history of Israel says, leave all to God. He will order and provide. And God has his time, which is seasonable intervention. Often God wants to teach us our own helplessness before interposing. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. When the fullness of time was come, God appeared. There's an old adage says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And God has the abundant beneficence. Christ is a greater Moses, through whom we are not only delivered from the punishment of sin, but sanctified also a peculiar people and made meet for the inheritance. Our conversion is merely the turning point, and heaven is the goal. And God is with us all the way. The Lord says, I know their sorrows. He can help. Fullness of resources he have. He will help. He has a whole scheme of salvation based on this. He delights to help, because he has a sympathy, the natural outcome of God's heart. God is full of knowledge. It is certain. He cannot be deceived or mistaken. What a consolation for afflicted. It is unlimited. For God knows all sorrows. It is compassionate, touch with feeling of our infirmity. He full of sorrows. It may be long continued, delay disciplines us to exercise our faith and patience. Sometimes it may be deeply oppressive. It may be widely experienced. I know their sorrows, he says. You know, God is very compassionate. He saw, he heard, and he delivered. My friends, as I come to a conclusion in this message, don't forget all your troubles, what you're going through. It has an end. It will end on God's opportune time. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. May God continue to richly bless you in all your problems and whatever you're going through. He's going to deliver you. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for this message, and I pray that somebody come to know you as Lord and Savior. Bless them, give them a wonderful week, and bless my friends in the BBS radio station, in Jesus' name. God bless you all. May the peace of God be upon you, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Reverend Joseph Caesar, and welcome to the Good News program. I am truly blessed and honored to be called by God to be his servant to spread the good news of salvation to you all. You have done the right thing. Don't change the channel. You are not here by chance, but by divine guidance.